of paper handed out for everyone. More paper? Yeah, just grab it straight out of the printer. Pull open the tray and grab some. Okay, does everyone have anyone not have a pen and paper? Okay, we've got two up the back. Anyone else? Do you need paper? Sheet of paper? Okay, everyone got one? Good. All right, so I'd like to run through this one as I would with an individual or a class. Okay, now this is lesson four, and I like this. We could call this one crunch time. All right, so this is getting down to it. This is halfway. So far we've seen in this course the three great truths of Christianity, and here again our little illustration here, a little diagram with the stool. And there are three great truths which Christianity rests on, and that, first of all, is the divine sonship of Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, God who came to us in human form, that he died to take the penalty and punishment for our sins on the cross, which we deserve, and that he also came alive again from the dead. And someone who does not believe those three truths is not a Christian in the true sense of the word if they do not believe those truths. Let's pray again as we start. Lord Jesus, we just would ask that you would please bless our time together now and have your perfect way in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the three great truths of Christianity. So being halfway through the course, that's dealing with the essential message of the Christian faith. And now the next three lessons, lessons four, five and six, that is dealing with how this message applies to you and to me. Okay, so basic truths there of Christianity, then how they apply to you and I. Okay, now everyone should have a paper and pencil or pen. Now I'm going to ask some questions here, all right, in this lesson, and it's for you to write down these answers, your answers to these questions. And the most important thing with these questions is that you are simply honest, okay, about what you put down. And now these are not for you to show me. I'm not going to ask for them back after the lesson. They are for you to keep. That's for your personal use. You don't have to tell me what your answers are, but this is for you to write down for you personally. So, got a first question here, is this one, which is, do you know for certain that you have eternal life? That is, if you died right now, you would go to heaven. Okay, yes, no, or not sure. So the best thing to do is just to put down the honest answer. Do you know for certain that you have eternal life? That is, if you died right now, okay, and we obviously hope you don't, you would go to heaven. Okay, so yes, no, or not sure. Okay, so put down your answer there. Okay, now, if your question was no, or I'm not sure, or I don't know, the good thing about this lesson is to show you how you can know for sure. All right, so that's a good thing about this lesson, if that was one of your answers. All right, so we're going to look at that, of how a person can know for certain that if they die that they would go and to be to heaven. But before we do that, let's ask another question. All right, and for you to write down your answer to. This one might take a little bit more time than the brief answer above. And that is, suppose you were to die today and you stood before God in heaven and he asked, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you reply? Okay, so you get the understanding there. Okay, it's a hypothetical situation. You imagine you were to stand before God, you were to die, you were to stand before God, and he was to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your response be to God? What would your answer be? So if you go ahead and just write down what your reply would be. So God says, why should I let you into my heaven? You've died, you're standing before him. Why should I let you into heaven? What is your response? Okay, so just take your time with that, writing down what you need to write down. Okay, and once you've finished, just feel free to look back up at me when you're done. Good. Okay, I'd like to read for you Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. So feel free to turn there in your Bibles, page 912. And it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So the name of this study is Grace, Not Works. Now, the question that I just asked before, this question number two, before we deal with how we can know for certain, was this one of what would your response be, okay? If the Lord was to say, why should I let you into heaven? Now, although people may put down different wording in the way that they answer that question, there is essentially a right answer and a wrong answer to that question, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you failed the course, all right? It says, it'll either be a right answer or a wrong answer, and if you have the wrong answer, we'll show you how you can have the right answer, okay? So there's a right answer and a wrong answer. So first of all, let's look at the wrong answer to this question, okay? Of why God should let me into heaven. And that is salvation by works. Salvation by works is the wrong answer, okay? And inside, got another envelope here. So it's salvation by works. And that is what I have done, okay? What I have done. All right, and let's have a look what we've got here inside. Salvation by works, what I have done. Okay, and that is answering according to something that I have done. God, you should let me into heaven because. And people might have a range of responses as to why they believe that God should let them into heaven. Okay, so they might say, well, God, you should let me into heaven because I try to live a good life. I do my best. I try to be kind to others. I try to do the right thing, basically. Well, the Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. There's some people who try to live a good life, but in comparison to God, who is perfect, we are never perfect. Okay, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, we haven't always done things perfectly. Some people might say, well, God, you should let me into heaven because I try to keep your rules. I try to live by the Ten Commandments. Okay, I've never killed anyone. Okay, I'm not like those murderers in the jail who've got life sentences and double life sentences, or in for this crime or for that crime. I generally try and be kind. I try and look after my parents and, not be disrespectful to them. I try not to lie, and I try and keep the Ten Commandments. Well, we see that if we've offended in the law in one point, okay, if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty of all. Now, you imagine a mirror, okay, and if you break one corner of the mirror, you've broken the whole thing. All right? You don't have to break every law there is in Australia to be a lawbreaker in Australia. You only have to break one. Okay? So if we have broken any of God's laws, that makes us imperfect before God, and we are not perfect, okay? And God's standard is perfection, as we will see. People might say, well, God, you should let me into heaven because, I don't kill, okay? I'm not a murderer. I can understand that murderers would go to hell, okay? But I don't kill. Well, when the Lord Jesus came to earth, he took the law to an even higher standard, okay? And he said, spoke about having a hatred for your brother, calling him thou fool, you in danger of hellfire, okay? In 1 John it says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, okay? So God sees not only the outward actions of murder, but the hatred that we can have in our hearts for someone. God sees the intents of our hearts as well. Well, someone might say, well, God, you should let me into heaven because I don't rob banks. I'm not like those people who do hold-ups and run away with bags of cash. But we've all stolen, haven't we? Even if it be something small, okay? And God won't allow us into heaven because we don't rob banks or do something like that. Some people will say, well, God, you should let me into heaven because I help people in need. And someone might rest on that. Because I try and be a kind person, someone has something they need or someone's in problem, I try to help people out. So I would think that God would let me into heaven because of that. Or some people might say, I think God will accept me because I love my family. You know, I've always been there for my children. I've always been there for my mum when she needed me, and my dad. And, I've tried to do the right thing by them, and I would have thought that God would see that and would accept me on that basis. But that's not the case either. The Bible says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a gift. People say, well, God, I keep religious practices. I keep religious practices. You know, I go to church. I give money to missions. I give tithe. I sing hymns or sing music. Or I'm part of the worship team. Or I pray. I read the Bible. I read good books. I take communion or the Eucharist in, say, like the Catholic Church or whatever it is in people's minds. I keep religious practices, and therefore I think God would accept me because of that. But we see that that's not the case either. Or, God, I think that you'll accept me because I pray. You know, I pray to you, okay? But that's not, doesn't make us right with God either. Or, I read the Bible. God, I think you should let me into heaven because I'm someone who has a respect for your word, for the Bible, and I try and live by the Bible. And there are perhaps many more things that people would put down there, all pointing to the same thing, to God, I think that you should let me into heaven because of what I have done. All right? But when you look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, okay, not your self-effort. It is the gift of God, not of works. What are works? Works are good deeds, anything like this. Trying to do the right thing, trying to live by the golden rule, trying to do unto others and things like that. Lest any man should boast, because if we could go to heaven because of any of these things, we could boast about it. We could be proud of that and say, I made it here to heaven because I did well, someone else didn't do well, and I don't know what that person's problem was. They couldn't get together. I could. All right. So that is the incorrect answer, okay, with the matter of what I have done. So not one of these good works individually, nor all of them, okay, will actually make us right with God and allow God to let us into heaven. Doing one of these things, all of these things, multiple of these things, abstaining from things, God won't accept us on that basis. And some people might say, well, why is that the wrong answer? Why won't God allow me into heaven if I have done my absolute best, right? If I've really tried, and I've been times where I've chosen not to do that when I really wanted to, and I said yes to this, you know, even if that was right, even when I didn't want to, and you know, why would God not let me to heaven? Well, let's go to Mark chapter 7. And verses 20 to 23 here on page 779. says, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Okay? So, we see that it's out of the heart of man these things come forward. Okay, the Lord Jesus gives this ugly list here of the sorts of things which come out of the heart of human beings. People say, well, why is it that God won't accept me on this basis? Well, let's illustrate this a bit, shall we? Okay, just bear with me while I get out some pen and some paper. I might use a texter actually. Okay. Who here has ever done a test? Okay, I would say pretty well everyone. Seth hasn't. No, okay. No, I'm sure he has. Okay, so done test. Who can tell me at your school what was the pass mark? 80? Yeah, it's pretty high. Bob, yep. 50? Yep. All right, depends where you go, doesn't it? Okay. 49, yep. Well, do you know, I think it was at when I was at TAFE in trade work, they would say it was 50, but I think it was actually 47%. All right, because you have to allow a bit for the light coming through the window and someone else is distracting me there with their pencil case and stuff, so got to allow a bit. So you can get more than half wrong and still pass. All right. Some pass marks, 80%, okay? And get more than 80, you pass. Less than 80, you fail. Some uni courses, what would they be? High 90s for some courses maybe? All right, possibly. Different ones. Now, a lot of people think that life is like the 50%. All right? If I do more, okay, so let's take 50%. If I do greater than 50%, I pass. If I get less than 50%, I'm more bad than I'm good, then I fail and I go to hell. That's what a lot of people think. What do you think God's pass mark for heaven is? 100% perfection. That's God's pass mark for heaven. And there is no one, do you know anyone who's ever done that? I certainly haven't got 100% perfection, not hardly. And no one can. God's standard is 100% perfection. And don't worry, we'll see how God deals with that aspect. So there is no way, no matter how hard you have tried in your life, you have never, ever, ever been 100% perfect. And that's God's standard. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all of us, if this is God's standard of perfection, we've all fallen way down there, way away from God's standard of perfection. Okay? And that is our state, and that is why Jesus Christ had to die upon the cross for our sins. Secondly, we also need to see in this passage here, okay, which we've just read, the Lord Jesus speaks about these evil things, fornication, adulteries, evil thoughts, murders, thefts, all these things which come out of us, even things which, not nice to talk about, would even perhaps surprise us sometimes. How could I have just been thinking about that? Or how did I do that? Or how could I have said that? And it comes out from inside. Now, you imagine that you were to, just to explain this now, or illustrate this, you imagine that you were to go to a doctor and stand there before this doctor and say, I've got this illness, internal illness, and it's breaking out in sores all over my body. Okay, I've got this bad sickness. And the doctor says, look, no problem at all, I can fix that. Pulls open a drawer, pulls out a box of Band-Aids and proceeds to put Band-Aids all over those sores over your body and says, there you are, you're all fixed, you can go home. And you would say, excuse me, but, you know, are you thinking about this? I mean, you think, what sort of a doctor is this? You know, the main issue is not these sores on my skin. The disease is internal, it's my blood, and that's what's coming out. And you know, when it comes to sin, sin is like that terminal problem within us. And when we lie, that's just simply like an outbreak on the skin of what's deeper inside. Committing adultery, an outbreak of what is deeper within us. Lying, hating, stealing, all these things are coming from that terminal problem called sin within our hearts and with our lives, within our lives. And doing a few good works for God to accept us is like throwing band-aids on sores and is not dealing with the issue. Okay? And these are symptoms of our rebellion. Okay? And good works never ever cancel out bad works. Okay? You speed once, you get fined, even if you kept the speed limit 100 times perfectly before. Okay? They don't cancel out your error and your failings. The issue is with sin is that sin is wanting to live independently of God. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Sin is me going my way rather than God's way. That's why, whether it be someone who is a mass murderer or someone who lives a relatively good life in society but simply lives life in their way rather than God's way, it's sin. Because both ways, it's rebellion, whether it be overt, vicious, vitriolic rebellion against God, where someone is cursing God, or whether it be someone who just quietly says, no, it's not for me, I'm just going to do things my way. Either way, it's rebellion, isn't it? You think about it with a child. Parent says, go and do this. One yells and screams about it and doesn't do it, and the other one just quietly walks off and doesn't do it. It's both rebellion. It's both sin before God. And so trying to do a few good things does not make us right with God. The Bible says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So when we say to God, we're a mess in our sin, and we say, God, you should let me into heaven because I try to keep your rules, that's like holding up a filthy rag to God and saying, God, let me into heaven because of this. Or, I don't kill people, Lord, let me into heaven because of this filthy rag. Or, because I love my family, it's like holding up filthy rags to God and saying, Lord, let me into heaven because of this. And that's offensive to God. So that's the wrong answer. We see that God's standard is 100% perfection. There is no way that we can make ourselves right with God, no matter how hard we try. So let's look at what is the right answer to this question of, you know, if you were to stand before God and he was to say, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you reply? The true answer, the correct answer is salvation by grace. Salvation by grace, that's the correct answer for your piece of paper. Okay, and that is rather that contrary to what I have done, it is what the Lord Jesus has done on my behalf. Okay? And inside, okay, we have exactly what we've been teaching. That salvation is not according to our own efforts. All right, but salvation is coming to this essential message of Christianity that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross to take my sins, that he was buried and that he rose again, and that he is the only way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when he said that, he ruled out every other avenue of eternal life. Not through good works, not through religion, not through a Baptist church, not through church membership, anything at all, but simply trusting him by faith for salvation. All right, it's grace through faith alone that saves. Okay, back to Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith. So trusting in Christ for faith, by faith for salvation. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, have you ever given someone a gift before? Yeah, when you gave that person that gift, did you expect them to pay for that gift? No, because it wouldn't be a gift. Have you ever heard of someone give you a gift where they have special conditions attached to it? Yeah, that's not a true gift. Okay, that's more like a bribe, isn't it? Okay, so a true gift is given freely, received freely, with no financial remuneration or any kind of remuneration of behavior on the part of the receiver, and there should be no strings attached to it either if it be a true and genuine gift. Freely given, with no strings attached, freely received, with no offer of remuneration in any way. Okay? That is God's gift to us. He says he wants to give it to us as a free gift. Now people say, well, does that mean that, you know, if I trust Jesus as my Savior, that means I can go out and I can break all the Ten Commandments and it doesn't matter? Well, the difference is when we trust Jesus as our Savior, God comes to live within us by his Holy Spirit and he gives us new desires. And Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God wants us to live that good life, a good life, he does, but not so that he would accept us. All right, let me give you another illustration here about what we mean by that. People get these two things confused, and a lot of people do. You ask a lot of people out there today, you know, who would go to heaven, who would go to hell? They would tell you good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. Not true. Unforgiven people go to hell, forgiven people go to heaven. All right, so what we need to know, this is what people incorrectly believe. They think good works produces salvation. If I do good works, I will be saved. All right, this is incorrect. Have you heard of the saying, the cart before the horse? Okay, that's getting the cart before the horse. Good works do not produce salvation. But the other way around, salvation produces good works. We do not do good works to be saved, but once we are saved, once we have received Christ as our Savior and he's entered our life, we then do good works. That good works is not the root, but the fruit. Okay, so salvation is the root, good works is the fruit. Okay, so when we are saved, you think about a plant. God gives us life when we get saved. The plant has life, and then fruit comes about because of that life. Okay, so salvation is the root, and good works is the fruit. Okay, salvation produces a life of good works. Let's move over now to Mark 10 and verse 15. On page 782. Okay, the Lord Jesus says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So you think about this. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, really? And a lot of people may find this hard to comprehend, that really that God does not want me and will not allow me, excuse me, to work in such a way that God will forgive me of my sins because of my person. If it's God says absolutely not to this. But God says, I want to forgive you and I want to give you that forgiveness as a free gift. It's that simple. People go, hang on, that just doesn't seem right. In our society, we would think you have to put in the effort somewhere for God to accept me in some way. But we see here the Lord Jesus says, but if you don't receive the kingdom of God, if you're not going to receive salvation as a little child, you're not going to enter there. And you think about the simplicity and the humility of a child, how that they just believe simply, okay, and they just humbly accept something. God says that if you're to be saved, you have to come to him in exactly the same way as a little child. That you don't come to God offering him your own goodness, okay, that God, you should accept me because of this or that, or, okay, God, I want you to accept me because of what Christ has done, plus the fact that I do these other good things as well. No, God wants to offer you that gift, and you need to have the humility and the simplicity of a little child and by faith just reach out and say, okay, Lord, I'm not trusting myself. I'm not trusting anything from the past that I have ever done. And I'm just going to receive your gift now, believing that you'll give it to me. The gift of salvation, trusting Jesus as my Savior, that he's taken the punishment of my sins, that I can't work for my salvation. I want your forgiveness. I want you to come into my heart and into my life and to save me. And he will. He'll do that. And then good works comes about after that, But we must humbly and simply just receive that gift. Just like you do when someone hands you a gift, you reach out and you receive it and you say thank you. That is the way you receive salvation, is you receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ by accepting him, the giver, allowing him to come into your life and take full control. Okay, so this gift must be received, okay? And there is a choice. People have a choice to receive gifts or to reject them. God gives you a free choice, and it's important that each and every person does that, must be received. Now, in the next couple of lessons, we'll be dealing with particulars of better understanding how to receive that gift, okay? And it is simple, but good to have the understanding of how. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for your great gift of salvation, which you offer to all people, regardless of who they are or where they come from or what they have done. And we thank you for it, Lord, and for the wonderful life change and blessing that it is. In Jesus' name, amen.